All right. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Good to see everybody here. I'm a little disappointed. My dentist is here, and all these soda pops in the aisle. Seems like he should have had more of an influence. But somebody's got some rotten teeth. No wonder how far we'd be on the basement if we hadn't spent so much money on pop. But these are just musings that go through my mind. And so I am excited to know that a 2-liter bottle holds $700 worth of dimes. That's pretty amazing. As a matter of fact, I'd like to fill some up myself or somebody to fill some up for me. And that'd be good. But we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Always good to come and be with you down here at Fairview Baptist Temple. Your pastor is a friend of mine. We've remained friends because we don't see each other much. And so I get to see him a few times a year, and we enjoy each other's company. Then we go our separate ways, and the friendship remains. And so it works out for us. And maybe the reason you can't be friends with that person next to you is you see them too often. And so maybe you should go your separate ways. And I'm just kidding you. I appreciate his friendship. We actually come up here about the same time. He's been the pastor down here at Fairview when I've been the pastor up at Elmira. And we didn't realize that. We actually lived close together before we moved here. But the Lord enabled us to have friendship since we've come. And so I'm thankful for the friendships that he's given us. And I always feel comfortable at Fairview. I don't get too afraid of too many crowds, but I always have a fear when I stand behind a pulpit. And I don't care where I am. Don't care if I've been pastor in Elmira for 10 and a half years, a little bit more than that, and still have a godly fear behind the pulpit. I think we ought to. I think we ought to respect God and what God's done. Man, I'm thankful. And I've enjoyed the singing tonight, enjoy the good fellowship tonight, and looking forward to future fellowship. And I'm just thankful for all the good things the Lord's done for us. I want to look in the Bible tonight at Psalms. So if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 11, Psalms chapter number 11. I, too, remember my first time coming here to Fairview Baptist Temple. And I remember a lot of the preaching that took place that morning. And so tonight we're going to look at Psalms chapter number 11. As soon as you find your place in Psalms 11, if you'll stand to your feet and if you're standing, I'm going to assume you found your place. All right. Good. Good. Not too hard to find. The Bible says in verse number 1, Psalms chapter number 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For, lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you in prayer. Lord, I come to you tonight as a needy man. Lord, I know there's no ability in me. Lord, the time that I've spent in your word has been precious time. But you know the need of the hour. Lord, you know this congregation. God, I pray tonight that through the course of preaching this message tonight, God, that through the Holy Ghost of God, that you would reveal places in our lives where we can grow closer to you. Lord, I have to believe in a crowd this size that there may be one lost here tonight, one that don't know you as personal Savior. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would penetrate into their heart, that they would see themselves as lost, that they'd see themselves as in need of a Savior, that tonight they would come to know you in the free pardon of sin. What greater joy could we have on the first Sunday of the new year, Lord, than to see somebody born into the family of God? Lord, I don't take this lightly tonight to stand behind this pulpit of my dear friend and this dear pastor. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you would hedge this place round about, remove anything that would hinder or quench, and do that which is needed in hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You be seated. Thank you for your reverence to the Word of God. I'm preaching a passage of Scripture tonight that I've heard preach in many ways, very few times the right way. And truthfully, this passage of Scripture actually speaks to my heart. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's a good verse. It leads itself to good preaching, but good preaching only comes by when we take it in context with the Word of God. And looking at these verses, I've heard them talk about the foundations of America, and I've heard them talk about the foundations of the church and all these things, but there's a literal meaning to this passage of Scripture here. There's a real story behind it. There's a real man that through Psalms chapter number 11, the psalmist David is conveying something that he's dealt with in his own life. And so when I look at this psalm, it takes place in the life of David. And as he's serving in the court of Saul, and just after he's killed Goliath, he's come in and the people have begun praising him and giving him honor, even more honor than the present king in that day and hour. He's established a name for himself, not in a prideful way, but in the way that God would have us to establish a name for ourselves, by being obedient to God. I would to God today that we as church people would seek to establish a name for ourselves, not because of who we are or what we've got, but because we've been obedient to God Almighty. And reading this, there's the trouble is when you get a name that everybody knows you, both good and bad. The good people know you and they praise you, and the bad people hate you and they try to do what they can to undermine you. And oftentimes I find that getting a name for yourself means you also get a bullseye for yourself. You become a target. And I want to be honest with you. I've said it already. I like preaching here at Fairview. I like it because, as I said, your pastor and I arrived at the same time. I like it because arriving here at the same time, he and I have both faced similar difficulties within the ministry as anybody would face coming into the ministry new. And I understand that over the course of the past 10 and a half years that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Fairview Baptist Temple has established a name for themselves, and rightfully so. Likewise, Elmira has established a name for herself. And that's good, because I don't have much confidence in churches you don't hear nothing about, because they're obviously not stirring, they're obviously not making waves, and obviously not all doing what they ought to be for the glory of God, because that gets out on you. And I realize also, looking at these things, that in the last years, last 10 and a half years, we've been through some ups and downs. And we've spent some times both up physically and spiritually and down physically and spiritually. We spent some times on the mountaintops and we've spent some times in the valley. We've had those times of bitter waters and we've had those times of sweet waters. We've had those times of coming to a place where there's 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and we've had those times of wandering through the wilderness where there ain't no palms and there ain't no water. We've come to a new year. A year of new things. And I want to tell you, there's specific agendas that I as a pastor would like to see at Elmira Baptist Church, and no doubt specific things that your pastor would like to see here. And we'd all like to see an enlargement of our coast. We'd all like to see things get bigger for the glory of God. But however, doing new things is never a popular thing. People don't like change. Some of you are mad that I'm preaching tonight and Pastor Wiley ain't. Some of you are glad that I'm preaching tonight and Pastor Wiley ain't. The truth of the matter is, I want you to realize we tend to get comfortable. We tend to get satisfied. We feel like things are okay. But can I ask you this? What if they're not? What if they're not okay? What I mean by that is, looking at the life of David in Psalms chapter number 11, he's in a good place. He has just defeated the Philistine giant. He's come out there with a slingshot. He walked out of the valley victorious. The people are giving him praise. He's got the power of God. He's in a prosperous position in the house of Saul. But also I find he's got enemies. Enemies that don't want to see him continue. Enemies that want to see him undermine. Enemies that want to see him destroy. And I want you to get this down right now. No matter how good you think your church is doing, or how far your church goes for the glory of God, you're going to have enemies. You better just understand that now. I've got more enemies in the last 10 and a half years than I've got in the last 40 years of life. And I'm telling you right now. And so we look at this. David's been surrounded here in Psalms chapter number 11. He says, how say you to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot the upright in heart. And I find that David now, in his life, at this victorious time, at this time of great transition, at this time where he's got this victory behind him and people for him, this group surrounds him of naysayers, and they said, hey, David, listen, won't you quit rocking the boat? Won't you just lay low for just a little while? Why don't you just get off the radar? Because you're causing such a stir. Now, there's some today that would say the same thing to us. They come to David, they say, listen, you're just a young man. You've got your whole future ahead of you if you don't do too much to upset those that may be ahead of you. People are starting to talk. People are starting to shoot their arrows in the ear of King Saul, and they're poisoning him, and they're stirring him up against you. Preacher, you've done plenty for the last 10 and a half years. Fairview Baptist Temple has had some great victories and made some great strides, and we've developed great friendships over there. You've made a name for yourself. You've made a name for the church. So maybe what you need to do is lay low for a little while. Let's give up this dime for debts. Let's slow down on this RU. Let's slow down in all these things we're trying to do here. You're still a young man, and maybe some of those that's been here for a while that's established themselves as career pastors that's never had no passion since they've been in the pulpit. You're upsetting and you're rocking the boat. So maybe you should just calm down a little bit. And David said, I hear what you're saying. But if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? He's saying, listen, what can we do? We use that statement sometimes, what can you do? And the truth of the matter is, I appreciate commentators that write on Psalms chapter number 11, and they say that the way David phrased this question, that it's obvious he had no answer to it. And I want to tell you, I disagree with them 100%. You say, preacher, are you smarter than a commentator? Absolutely. Well, some of them. But what I am smart enough to believe the Bible. And I believe David gives us a pretty clear answer in Psalms chapter number 11 about what's going on. And I agree that David realized there was no answer in pointing to himself or the people around him. You know what David did instead? He pointed up. And I want you to realize right now, he said, I know I can't do nothing. I don't know what the righteous can do, but I know who can do something. And I want to tell you that I don't know all the answers for Elmira Baptist Church, and I don't know all the answers for Fairview Baptist Church, nor does your pastor, nor do you, but I know who does got an answer. And so I want to make it perfectly aware to you tonight that myself as a pastor and your own pastor see the attacks upon the very foundations which we stand on. Very aware of what's going on. We see a crumbling of the foundations of America. We see the crumbling of the foundations of family values. We see the crumbling of the foundation of the very way we worship. And the people say, listen, they're shooting at you and they want to destroy it. But we need to both understand and be perfectly aware of this. If we allow the foundation to be destroyed, we won't have nothing left. Somebody has to stand and protect the foundations. Somebody has to say, listen, enough's enough. And it's about time that we girded our loins and said, God, by the help of you and you alone, we won't lose nothing else to the devil. I want you to realize right now that we ain't going to run and we ain't going to hide and we ain't going to lay low. The only hope we have, it's not in me and it's not in you. The only hope we have is the God Almighty. As long as the foundations are in jeopardy, David said, I ain't going nowhere, but I know who's going to help us with them. And it's that idea that I thought about this message. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm going to tell you what we can do. The first thing I want you to notice tonight is this. We've got to have a dedicated trust. The Bible says in verse number 1, this is what David said, in the Lord put I my trust. Now notice, if we're going to succeed in 2018, no matter what church you're in, we're going to have to put our trust in God Almighty. We're going to have to depend on Him to get us through some things. When the budget don't add up, when the prayers don't seem to be answered, when the crowd seems to drop off, in the Lord put I my trust. Amen. I didn't move to West Virginia to put my trust in Clinton Nottingham or Jeff Dennison or even Brett Wiley. I moved to West Virginia because in the Lord do I put my trust. Amen. And you've got to understand that God is trustworthy, that God is able to be trusted. Amen. He's never done one thing. Why is it when we come to church that we can put more faith in a church pew than we can God Almighty? Most of you come in here without a second look, flop down on that old wooden pew and thought that it would hold your weight, but yet when it comes to trusting God, you second guess everything about Him. I want to tell you something right now. I got more faith in God than I got in these church pews. Matter of fact, mine cracked tonight while I sat on it. Don't know if it's broke, don't know if I'm fat, but it did crack. And I was sitting there telling my wife, in the Lord, do I put my trust? When the enemy's advancing, we can trust God. Amen. When the storms rage, we can trust God. When circumstances come around, we can trust God. When all these things are happening, we can trust in Him. Can you? Do you? You think Pastor Brett Wiley is the salvation for Clay County, West Virginia? I promise you he's not, but I do know who is. Amen. We didn't come over here, and I know him. I know his heart. We talk on the phone, and we share things with each other. And I'm telling you right now, he don't expect to do it by himself. He's not expecting you to trust in him to do it, but he's expecting you to trust in the one who can do it. Amen. I've seen in our churches over the past few years doubt. I've seen disbelief. I've seen worry. I've seen concern. I've seen anger and I've seen bitterness and I've seen fight. And one thing I can't say I've seen a whole lot of was trust. And I want you to know right now, David said, I'll tell you something. I get what you're saying. I realize the enemies are sharpening their arrows. I realize they're saying bad things about us. I realize they don't like everything that's going on and they're trying to mount up an insurrection against all of us. But he said, I'll tell you something else I know. I stood down there in the valley and I stood across from a giant and I took a rock in my slingshot and I slung it hard as I can. And that old creek rock buried up in his forehead further than a man could sling a rock, and that giant didn't fall backwards. He fell forward. And he said, I'm not depending on what I can do. I'm not depending on what man can do. But I know what God can do. And I think I'll just go with God. Amen. Amen. No need to doubt him now. Amen. He's brought us this far. Listen, Elmira got the short end of the stick when they called North Carolina. You can say what you want to say. I know where I was and who I was and didn't know why they was calling. I come down there at pulpit committee, still got one at least that's on the pulpit committee that still attend my church. Come down there, sit in my broken down house on my couch, my kids just, my oldest daughter, some of them just barely above knee high, and they sat down there and God said, you got to go. And I told my wife I had to go. Hey, but listen, it was because of one reason. In the Lord put I my trust. I want you to realize, secondly, not only do we got to have when we're thinking about this dedicated trust, we've got to be diligent to the task. There's work to be done. It's going to take a few dimes to fill these bottles. You know that? It's going to take a few classes to get this opioid and heroin epidemics and all these things out of people. It's going to take a Reformers Unanimous class or two, ain't it? It's going to take a few buses. We're trying to get money up for another bus because the pastor up at Elmira borrows them and a deer runs out in front of them. And I've learned my weapon of choice is a 15-passenger church van. Killed the biggest buck I ever killed for in my life. And but the truth of the matter is this. It's going to take something, but we've got to be diligent to the task. Dimes ain't just going to jump out and fill them bottles. The addicts just ain't going to come out to try to get help. We've got to do some things. We've got to be diligent to ask. You say, what are you trying to say? Notice what he goes on to say after they're giving him all this. In verse 4, his answer to what the righteous can do. The Lord is in his holy temple. Well, David, that ain't a good answer, is it? Oh, that's the only answer. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You say, what are you trying to say? We've got a God that sees. The Bible says his eyes are everywhere beholding the good and the evil. We've got a God that can see. We've got a God that can hear. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. We've got a God that can reach his hand down because his hand ain't shortened that he cannot say. We've got a God that's as good as his word because God said he's not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward. What I'm saying is we've got a presence in the heaven that's looking out for us. I want you to realize right now, you say, how can we remain diligent to the task, preacher? Because God remains diligent to his. We can stay diligent in doing what we do because God's diligent in what he does. I want you to understand, David said, I want to tell you something. God is in a fixed place. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. And you say, why was he there? Because that's where his chair is. The next thing says, the Lord's throne's there. Ain't that where you like to be, where your chair is? He's in the holy temple and he sits on the throne. He's in control. God is there. This morning when your pastor took the pulpit, God was there. Tonight when I took it, God was there. Later on tonight when ain't nobody in this building and we're laying in our bed and maybe tossing and turning around trying to figure out what God would have us do next, he's still there. In the morning when I wake up, God will still be there. When trouble comes my way tomorrow, God will still be in his holy place. Hey, I want you to understand, we've got a very present God. Amen. We're working and God's watching. God knows these bottles. I don't know how many bottles are up and down these aisles, but God does. I don't know how many people need help in West Virginia. God does. I don't know how far the outreach of the church in Clay is down here, but God does. I don't know how we're going to get them. Don't know how we're going to go be able to get all the doors and be able to witness to anybody. I see you're doing your evangelism and it seems like a daunting task. It seems like it's too big. I don't know how to go about all that, but God does. Amen. Amen. Some people say, I can't go soul winning because I'm scared. Well, join the crowd. You think shimmying across the log over a creek to get to somebody's house you know is probably going to shoot at you when you get off that log is? But you know what I like? That usually God made the trip before I did. I was preaching this morning at the church and the Bible says that when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door and the Lord which is in secret, and I'm just amazed by that statement, the Lord which is in secret, that God inhabits the secret place. And if you get in that secret place, when you get in there and you shut the door, you'll find you ain't the first one there, God's there. And we've got to understand something right now. He's got a fixed place. He's got a focused perception. It says he sees. Notice his eyes see. His eyelids try. He sees and he separates. He knows the righteous from the wicked. God knows those that's got the best intentions for this church in mind and those that would not. I want you to realize that. And so God is ensuring that He does His part so that we can ensure we're diligent to the task He set before us. Number three, this is something I'm going to do. It's important. I'm going to delegate trouble. That means, delegate means pass it off on somebody else. That's a pastoral term, pastoral authority. It's your job to handle that trouble. Everybody says the pastor ought to delegate some authority. Take some of that trouble and you take over that. I'll handle the rest of it. You say, preacher, what are you getting at exactly? What I want you to realize, thinking about this phrase here, I don't have time to argue with you. I don't have time when I pray for my mind to be sidetracked with garbage. I don't have time every time I open my Bible to be interrupted by stupid things that the devil tries to throw up in my mind while I'm trying to seek out the mind of God. I don't have time for grudges. I don't have time for gossip. I don't have time to debate. I don't have time for all them things. You say, what are you going to do with all them? I'm giving them to God. Now you say, why would you do that? Because verse 6 says, upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 19, the Bible says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen, instead of me trying to figure out how to come about and secretly kill some of the people that caused me trouble. Oh, act like you never thought it. I want to sit there and find the mind of God and let God handle them. Put it in some people's place. Take some people and put it in God's hands. Put wrath in its place. Some people only want to interfere because they ain't never going to do nothing. They ain't sheep, they're goats. And you say, how can you tell the difference between a sheep and a goat? A goat butts. Pastor says, this is what we're going to do. And they say, but preacher. We tried that before and it didn't work. Pastor says, we're going to do something else. And they go, but preacher, we don't have the money. You better watch out for your pastor grabs you by the horns, turns you over to the God for vengeance. Do you realize, listen, I don't know how this church operates. I don't know who deacons are. I don't know who the people in authority are. I know your pastor. And as far as that goes, I operate at the whim of your pastor. He invited me, I came. It was not no committee called me on the phone and said, come preach for me. And I'll tell you why, because I believe that God has appointed the under-shepherd to be over the flock. I also believe that God will give him the direction for this church. Wow. Boy, I'm glad Elmira amens that. Amen. Amen. Wait till you come to my church preach the same thing, then it'll be your church saying amen. Yeah, that's right. Good. What I'm saying is when your pastor gets up here with a heavy heart and a burden, and he says, church, I've been spending time in my prayer closet. And I've been spending time with God. And this is what we've got to do this year. This is the direction God's seen us. You goats, just stay quiet. It's more important that this church does what God would have them to do than to do what makes you feel comfortable. You say, preacher, David said this, but he's probably just spouting off. He probably didn't really mean that he had turned things over to God. You're probably right. I mean, if there was some place in the Bible where we could find where a David actually lived up to this expectation, it would just be amazing. Like in Psalms 31, for example, when David was facing his enemies. And he said, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I call upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent. Let the lying lips be put to silent, which speaks grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. You know what David said? I'm turning it over to him. You ain't got time to fight. Well, preacher, they left. Where'd they go? I don't know. They didn't leave a letter. They didn't leave me a return address. Maybe they just tucked tail and run. Listen, sometimes people come, sometimes people go, but God's people's got to stand firm. And I'm turning that over to God. I've had a lot of people leave Elmira Baptist Church. I'm not one of them preachers going to stand up here about bragging about running somebody off. That's not what I do. I preach the Word of God. The Word of God, the chips fall where they may. They have to deal with it the way they do. But you know what I'm hoping for? Restoration. Amen. You say, why would you hope for something like that? Because if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what the Bible tells me? The Bible says restoration is the answer. And we've got to get ourselves to a place to say, God, the battle's not mine, the battle's yours. I'm going to stand in the gap. All the devil wants to do is distract. That's why we need to delegate our trouble. You can't be sitting on this side of the church mad at somebody on this church while your pastor's preaching his guts out, trying to tell you how to live right and how to do right and what God's gave you for that day. And you can't get your anger off the person across the aisle from you. Now listen, your pastor ain't told me there's trouble across the aisle, but if I see a look on your face, I'm going to know I'm talking to you. I'm looking. Somebody like, I ain't going to look either way. Let me hurry along. Y'all ain't got time for me to dilly-dally. We find in this passage of Scripture that David, when he started out there, verse number one, David said, I'm going to have a dedicated trust. This is what I'm going to do. It's what can the righteous do. He said, I'm going to be diligent to the task. He said, thirdly, I'm going to delegate my trouble. And the fourth thing that he said I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to be determined in my testimony. Do you know testimonies don't just happen by accident? That if you're going to have a testimony, it's going to be because you've got one on purpose. The Bible says in verse number 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now I'm going to be honest with you, I like that verse. I like it. Anytime a verse tells me that God's face will shine upon me if I do something, I like it. Listen, if the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, what should you be? Pop quiz. Righteous. If God's countenance shines upon the upright, what should you be? Wow. Upright. You know the opposite of upright's down wrong. Down the wrong path. Down. I've got to clarify that for the sake of your pastor. The opposite of being upright is being wicked. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. It says the words of the wicked are a lie, are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Bible says, Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So you've got an option to be wicked or upright. Now, I'll be honest with you. Down here at Fairview Baptist Temple, there's not very many people that would probably lay claim to being wicked. But did you know it don't take very much to be wicked? You say, well, preacher, I'm not living in open sin. So how can I be wicked? By not being upright. Amen. You know, upright means complete. Thoroughly furnished. That's what it means, upright. It means that we're moral. It means we're gentle. It means we're kind. It means we're firm on what we believe. You know what? I'm about sick of the Baptist. Now, I'm just throwing this out because We got so many religions today, and religions want their own idea. You know what we need to get back to? Before we're Baptists, we need to be Bible believers. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't changing my sign or going community or nothing like that. Don't know how that sets for you. But what I'm saying is we put these names on our church so we can interpret the Bible any way we want to interpret it. How about we just interpret it the way God intended? Why don't we believe it just the way God said it? If we had a dispute down here about the King James Version Bible, some of you would raise up your fist and fight because the King James Version Bible is the Bible. Then can I ask you why you don't live it? Why are you willing to fight over something you ain't willing to live? We need to have a determined testimony. We need to see what thus saith the Word of God. Did you know the Bible, speaking of our foundation, the Bible says built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I want you to understand right now, the very foundations we're talking about today, the foundation that won't be destroyed is the foundation upon which this church is built and the church at Elmira is built. The Word of God. We lose this, we've lost everything. You think I'm going to come down here and let your pastor bat his eyes at me and tell me how I can get a job? I ain't interested in it. I heard a preacher on TV, and I don't mention names, Joel Osteen, but he was sitting there talking about how you could have some good self-esteem and just shake their hand firmly and do all. Let me tell you something. Get to the book. I don't want to die and go to hell knowing how to shake somebody's hand. I don't want to know how to die and go to hell with some self-esteem. I want to get to the end of myself and do what the Bible says and come to Jesus, because I know outside of Him there is no hope. You want to succeed in 2018? Help your pastor. Help him protect the foundation. If it's destroyed, what can we do? Well, if it's destroyed, I don't know what we're going to do. But what about the men standing there saying, you know, by the grace of God, we're going to have something to stand on down here. I just turned 40 year old December 22nd. Yeah, that's right. I've got wiser. That's what you was probably thinking. It won't be too many years. I'll turn 50, 60. It gets away from you, don't it? But I want to leave something behind. I'm worried about my children, you know? You see, we fight with all our might. We struggle. We try to do what we can to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in a world that's continually going the opposite way. Even sometimes in front of churches that are going the opposite way. Amen. And I'm worried about what kind of foundation's going to be left for my children. What are they going to build upon? What are they going to see? What are they going to establish? Well, I'll tell you exactly what they're going to establish. The same foundation my daddy left me and my granddaddy left me. The foundation of the Word of God. The foundation of God standeth sure. I want to tell you something right now, that if this church building be dissolved, there's still a foundation. If the winds come and the floods come and washes it away, if something happens within the United States of America where they shut the door, I don't care what they do, they steal a foundation and it still needs to be defended. And the righteous need to protect it, not by their own strength, but by the strength David gave them. The Lord is in His holy temple. He sits on the throne. His eyes see, His eyelids try the children of men. What am I going to do today? You know what I've decided to do to the new year? In the Lord, do I put my trust? That's going to be my verse for the year. In the Lord, do I put my trust? Not my car. Some of you put more trust in your car than you do God Almighty. You want me to prove it to you? Did you check oil before you left? Did you check make sure there's water in it? Did you check the transmission fluid? Or did you just go out there and cram a key in it and take off? If you're going to commit yourself to a Ford or a Chevrolet or a Dodge or a Plymouth or a Mitsubishi, I'm sure there's other stuff out there. Surely to goodness you can commit yourself to the hands of God Almighty. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous is going to do all they can to make sure they're not destroyed by depending on the one who established the foundation in the first place, God Almighty. What can we do? Trust in Him. 2018, trust in Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, you come on.
With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, this is the encouragement that we need. Sometimes when we use the word encouragement, we think it always means that it builds us up a certain way, it makes us feel a certain way. But the truth of the matter is, encouragement sometimes just says you've got to keep doing what is right. Stick to the path. A dedicated trust. The Lord is trustworthy in your marriage, in your home, with your children, in your finances. He's trustworthy. You got to stay diligent to the task. I said to the church this morning that I've just felt the Lord impressing upon me, and I've just tried to be extra gracious and merciful and pump the brakes a little bit. But we can't do that forever. There's work that needs done. That eventually we've got to believe that the Lord can build the RU program and the Lord can bring kids into the van ministry and people can walk the aisle and get saved. We've got to be diligent to the task. Trouble's going to come your way in 2018. Having a great year doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. But you can have a great year. You just delegate that trouble out. Lord, you can have that. I got better things to do. Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You're going to have to be determined in these things. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. It answers every question that we have, every one of them. And Lord, I pray that by faith tonight we would grab a hold of this truth, that there's a lot of folks just worried about what's going to happen in our world. And with our trust in you, we don't have to worry about a thing. Thank you, Father. Help us now in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Rebecca's playing on the piano. You're already standing to your feet. Why don't you come pray tonight? Find something from this message you know the Lord has used to speak to your heart. Come bring it to Him tonight. Lord, I've been fretting. I've been worrying. I almost hear a distaste, honestly, in David's mouth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord's in His holy temple. We're not worried about the foundations getting destroyed. We're not worried about the whole world and the whole nation. We're not worried about the government. We're not worried about climate change. We're not worried about global warming. We're not worried about a fight with North Korea. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. I'm not worried that the Lord's going to return before I get some big task I'm looking forward to get done. No, my trust is in the Lord. I'm going to stay diligent to the task. Preacher, you don't know what so-and-so said about me. You don't know what my wife is doing to me. Listen, our trust is in the Lord. It's in Him. Maybe you feel the way I feel sometimes. Even here at the church, you think, man, the wheels are just going to fall off this thing. Just whole thing. Our trust is in the Lord. The foundations are not going to get destroyed. You can't harm the Word of God. You can't take away from the glory of God. You can't change the sovereignty of God. The foundations aren't going to get destroyed. You just dedicate your trust. Keep diligent to the task. Delegate that trouble. Keep determining your testimony. Hey, if the Lord is going to shine on righteousness, why don't you learn some righteousness? If the foundations be destroyed, hey, listen, they're not going anywhere. God's doing just fine. Put your trust in Him. Work with Him.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now.